Thanks for doing this. Some GMs have mentioned that there's been quite a bit of trade chatter going into this weekend. I guess, how would you categorize it, and how active do you specifically expect to be here in the next couple of days?
I've seen that quote. I think to me it's been the normal amount of chatter. I think a lot of teams are checking in on players and trying to figure out where the cap's going to be and what they have to do to be compliant with that. And I think there's quite a few bigger name RFAs out there that, you know, people are trying to work towards a contract with. So I don't know if it's above normal or, you know, I think it's pretty normal from my point of view.
And you guys, I guess, how active do you think maybe you guys will be in all of that?
Well, I think we're, you know, I mean, we try to have as many conversations as we can to know what's going on with teams and what they're trying to do and trying to find a match with what we're trying to accomplish.
Hey, Brian, this is Tarek. There have been some reports that you guys are kind of in win-now mode again, all-in mode, I guess. How would you characterize just kind of the organizational plan going into these next this next week or 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we're never not in an all-in situation. I think, you know, we view ourselves as a contender for the cup, and we want to put the best team forward and make the best decisions we can to do that. We have some good players, some players that are getting a little bit older, but are still high-end quality players. And we're looking to surround them with the best team possible.
You mentioned there that, you know, some of your best players are getting up there. Does that kind of add to the urgency? I mean, I guess you said you're always relatively urgent, but does that add to it a little bit?
No, I think we're in the same mode we've been in for the last 5 years is, you know, try and have the best team we can put on the ice together. I think Ovi and Backe are still high-end quality players, and we're trying to surround them with the best guys we can every year.
Hey, Brian, this is Jason Rogers with Washington City Paper. How much do the upcoming contracts that are going to be handed out to Backstrom and potentially to Holtby affect what you're going to do with your RFAs now, specifically looking at Andre Burakovsky?
I don't know that that has a huge impact on it. I think, you know, we have another year with both players. They're both a big part of the team and big part of what we've accomplished so far. I think as the summer goes on, we'll talk to both of those guys about the future and how we see it playing out. Do I think Andre Burakovsky plays into the decision for them, for those two contracts? I don't think so.
And just following up on that, Brian, thank you. I guess to the extent that you're willing to tip your hand here, what are you thinking? What are you and your team thinking with Andre right now?
I think it's Andre had a frustrating year this year, but I think he finished it up well. I think from the trade deadline on, I thought he had a good playoffs. We like the player. I think there's been some inconsistencies there, but when he's on his game, he's a good player. We'd like to keep him around, and obviously his name's out there a little bit, so we do talk to some teams on him, and, we're not going to move him unless we get something we feel comfortable back.
Hey, Brian. Brian McNally from NBC. How are you? Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Are there any frustrations on your part or manager's part around the league not knowing the exact cap number? How big a deal is that? I know maybe it's only $1 million or whatever, but that I would assume that affects what you guys are thinking even going into this weekend. Where do you stand on that? And
I think it's frustrating. I think, we've been projecting using that 83 number for the last part of the year. And, at some point we switched back to 82.5 because there was, some rumblings there, and now it seems to be going back a little further. I know it seems like it's not a large amount of dollars, but it does impact teams that are right at the number as far as salary. So it is a bit frustrating. And, you know, when you see it go down to maybe 81-5, I think, you know, there's a pause on our part to – we want to see the number before we move forward, because it's going to affect our roster decisions, even on the bottom end, on fourth line, and what we have to do going forward, because we're – the margins are that slim for us.
And this is Steve Warner from the AP. Just to follow up on that, how – in terms of if the salary cap comes in at 81-5 or 82, given the amount of contracts you need to re-sign, how much does that kind of keep you from even getting involved maybe or wanting to get involved in the free agent market, just given the kind of core players you have to sign and re-sign?
Well, hopefully we find out what the number is supposedly on Saturday. So, you know, the free agent market, the interview period, we'll have a week or 4 or 5 days to, you know, talk to agents, talk to players, and see what their salary expectations are. So it might affect, you know, whether we go after certain players or not certain players, just the difference in that $1 million.
Brian, this is JJ Regan from NBC Sports Washington. I wonder, do you have any update on where you stand with Jacob Vrana? Are you guys getting close to that, or is there, since he's a restricted free agent, or are things kind of slow at this point?
I mean, we're in contact with his agent. We've had, you know, a few conversations with him. We're continuing to talk to him as we go forward. We're going to play it out here. We're going to see where the cap is and see what our roster decisions are and make a decision with Jacob and his agent.
Hey, Brian, it's Ben Randy here. Haven't heard from you too much since the Gudas acquisition. Just curious what you look forward to him potentially bringing to the team next year, Radko Gudas.
Yeah, I think, you know, we like Radko. I mean, he's a competitive guy. We feel he's a good defensive defenseman. We like him on the penalty kill. He brings a physical element to our team that we feel we need. He's a high character guy, good guy in the room. So we're excited to have him on our team.
A follow-up with Niskanen having moved on now, is that a likelihood that Jensen could move into that top four role? Is that still wait and see, depending on how the early stages of July go here?
Yeah, I think we'll play it out here. I mean, he's a candidate for it. He could play there. You know, we could try a number of guys. I think we'll just see how this goes. And as we approach camp, I think the coaches will try a number of options, and he's one of them.
Hey, Brian, this is Neil McHale from Inside Hockey. Regardless of whether you bring him back or not, what was it about your organization that seemed to get the best from a guy like Brett Connolly? Because prior to coming over to you guys, he had a really hard time staying in the lineup and being a productive player.
I think we brought stability to his game. Obviously, he played well. I think we found a good spot and on the third line for him. And we've always, you know, Lars has been a good match for him. Burkowski's been a good match for him. They complement each other really well. I think he just found stability, found a place where he could play. There wasn't a lot of pressure on him to score because he had guys in front of him. I think it was just a good fit team-wise and for him, and he took advantage of it. He played well.
And just a follow-up to that, because of the cap and everything, is it going to be maybe a little difficult for him to come back?
It could be. I think, you know, we're in conversations with his agent also. I think it depends on how the league views him and what kind of contract offers and what kind of role he's going to be presented with. I think he's earned the right to listen to all the teams and to see where they sit with opportunity and financially. And you know, we're going to talk to him and see where that ends up for him and try and make a decision based on that.
Brian, it's Tom Galitti with NHL.com. Where do you stand with your other potential UFAs, Devontae Smith-Pelly, and I don't know what Brooks Orpik has made up his mind if he wants to play yet, but where do you stand with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to both their agents also. We're going to wait till the interview period here and, you know, continue to converse with them going forward, see what our other opportunities are, and try and make a good decision based on that.
And just on your restricted free restricted free agents. Are you going to make qualifying offers? I think the deadline is Monday to all of them. Is anybody who might not receive a qualifying offer?
I think we are. I mean, we're gonna make a decision here after we see the cap number, after we talk to a couple of these agents further after that cap number.
Is Andre one of the decisions to be made on that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rena Torchinsky from the Washington Times. So Ovechkin now holds the most Rocket Richard trophies in NHL history, and what does this achievement mean for you and the Capitals next season?
I think it's, he continues to amaze me that he keeps playing at that high a level. I think last year was outstanding for him. It's great for him. I'm happy for him, his family. It's great for the organization. I expect him to fully compete at that level next year and going forward. I mean, he shows no signs of slowing down.
Brian, this is Mark again. Sorry, Izzy. You want to go?
Go ahead.
Just want to get a couple of injury updates from you. TJ Oshie, how's his recovery going, and do you have a time frame? Do you think he'll be ready for start of training camp?
Yeah, I think he'll be ready for start of training camp. Last I heard, he was healthy and working out at our practice rink and doing well. But he'll be ready for training camp for sure.
And what about last year's first rounder, Alexiev? We saw him, with that knee injury. How is he doing? What was the extent of that knee injury?
Yeah, he's healthy. I don't think it was bad as initially expected. He'll be at development camp here.
Okay.
And fully healthy.
Great. Thank you.
Brian, this is Isabel again. You guys have typically kind of just drafted the best player, regardless of position, in the past. But this year, is there any, kind of thought to go forward, just because maybe that's more of a area of need than defense or goalie?
Yeah, I think it'll factor into our decisions. Unless we see a defenseman that's clearly above a forward that we like, if the decision is close, I think we're going to go with the forward.
Thanks.
Just to follow up on that, Steve Warnow again, is there a premium on defensemen in this draft? I mean, it seems like that the top of the draft is so stacked with forwards. Is there a premium on in terms of finding good defensemen, even though the top of the draft is really forward heavy?
Yeah, there seems to be a section in that draft right after those forwards where there's quite a few good defensemen that are, the scouts really like. Overall, I think it's a pretty deep draft that there's a lot of guys are going to play, and there's quite a few defensemen in the middle to late first round that guys like. There's also a group of forwards that our guys like a lot, and we're going to balance that decision between the two.
Brian, one more injury update. Is Michael Kempney, what is his status for the start of camp? Is that going to be